Welcome to the Anxiety Summit. I'm your host, Trudy Scott, food mood expert, certified nutritionist, and author of The Anti-Anxiety Food Solution. And I have invited Dr. Josh Friedman to this summit so he could share his expertise because he brings a very unique perspective to an integrative approach to mental health. He offers integrative psychotherapy services, which combines the healing power of insight-oriented psychotherapy together with education about lifestyle and nutritional tools. What a wonderful combination. Josh, welcome.
Thank you, Trudy.
Thanks for being here.
I'm really glad to be here.
I am too. It was really interesting how we met. We actually met on Facebook a few years ago by your great Facebook page, Integrative Psychotherapy of Omaha. And then it was really great to meet you in person at the 2013 Integrative Medicine for Mental Health Conference.
Yes, that was great.
Yes, and I'll see you again this year in September at the same conference.
I will go. It's the best conference, I think, for integrative mental health, for sure.
It really is good, yes. So I'll just repeat that again in case someone didn't hear it. Integrative Medicine for Mental Health, IMMH. So today's talk is titled Integrative Psychotherapy, My Journey from Psychoanalysis to Whole Person Mental Health. So let me do a formal introduction, and then we'll go right into the questions. So Dr. Josh Friedman earned his doctorate in psychology from New York University and received postdoctoral training in psychoanalysis for the Training and Research Institute for Self-Psychology in New York City. Worked as an eating disorders psychotherapist at the esteemed Renfrew Center of New York, and he's on the faculty of the Mount Sinai School of Medicine. For more than 10 years, he has worked as a psychologist with adults, couples, and family. As his practice has evolved, it became clear to him that something was missing from traditional psychotherapeutic approaches. Curiosity and a chance meeting led him to discover the world of nutritional psychology. Yay! which teaches many psychological issues are caused or made worse by underlying biochemical nutritional deficiencies. Further exploration led him to the practice of yoga with its emphasis on breathing, meditation, and movement for emotional centering. To enhance his effectiveness in helping patients to heal and grow, he became certified as holistic health counselor at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York and has studied with mental health nutritional leaders such as Dr. Charles Gant, Julia Ross, and Tim Cuss. Dr. Friedman is an avid yoga practitioner and a student of Susie Amendola, ERYT 500. His latest endeavor has been into the world of neurofeedback, which provides the brain information about its own functioning and, as a result, increases self-regulatory functioning and flexibility, leading to improved behavioral outcomes. So as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Friedman's practice now offers integrated psychotherapy services, which combines the healing power of psychotherapy with education about lifestyle and nutritional tools that have shown scientific efficacy in improving mental health symptoms. So let's get right into it, Josh.
Yeah.
Why don't you share your story and why you do this work? Your journey. It's an amazing journey, and I just love the fact that you were curious and you went further and further and further. And I know you're still learning. We all continue to learn, but your journey has been very, very interesting.
So I started out just as a traditionally trained psychotherapist, and sort of the pieces when I was working at an eating disorder clinic, and it was the first time I was sort of working with other professionals. So we worked in a day treatment program and intensive outpatient program. And we work with doctors and sort of traditionally trained nutritionists and art therapists and yoga therapists. And working at that center was the first time I sort of began to think of the body as being an important part of the journey to healing. And that sounds like a sort of a bizarre thing to say, but, I did 7 years of training in graduate school. I did 2 years or 3 years of postdoctoral training in psychoanalysis, and no one really ever mentioned food. No one mentioned that the food we eat contributes to the moods that we have. I mean, the only thing that people, it was pretty clear that we were, you know, people would talk about the ill effects of alcohol, certainly, or that a healthy diet was generally good for overall, you know, mental health or functioning. But no one sort of got into the nitty-gritty of it. So that was sort of the first exposure that I had, to listen to professionals and to actually see people who had real mind-body problems. You know, their mind, you could see in an anorexic woman that her mind wasn't working, at least in part because she was highly protein malnourished.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like the first insight I sort of had. Then I had a daughter who ended up having a very severe gastrointestinal problem. And I was living in New York City, and I ended up visiting a lot. We were reasonably affluent, and we were treated at the best hospitals, but we also went to a lot of alternative practitioners and alternative healers. And one of the people we went to was a chiropractor who was what was called a biochemical nutritionist at that time, which now I think would be called a functional medicine practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And two things happened out of that experience. The first thing was he recommended that we put our daughter on a supplement called L-glutamine. And he did that because she was getting lots and lots of infections that were born in her gut and ended up becoming systemic infections that would put her in the hospital. And from the moment we started giving L-glutamine, her infections went from once a month to once every 6 months, like virtually overnight. She just stopped getting infections.
Okay.
So that woke me up. I was like, wow. And so I had a long way to go. I was pretty traditionally minded. And then this same chiropractor said to me about the eating disorder patients, sort of unrelated to my daughter. He said, do you know why people don't get better when they're put on psychiatric medicines like Prozac, especially the eating disorder women we were treating? And I said, it wasn't something I thought of at all. He said, because Prozac doesn't make serotonin. Prozac just makes better use of it. If people are protein malnourished and don't have enough amino acids in their system, they're not going to have enough Prozac for the medicine to work properly. And that one statement alone that changed the way I thought about everything. Like, I couldn't get that thought out of my mind. And then from there, I started reading about amino acids. I had never even heard of amino acids. So this is back about 10, 12 years ago, you know, as I'm finishing up my doctorate and working at the Eating Disorder Center. And I picked up a book sort of by chance. I mean, I was starting to do research and starting to think about this, called The Mood Cure by Julia Ross.
Fantastic.
And that book was really profound to me. And I was both inspired and angry that some of the nutritional principles that she talked about that directly made the case for a more natural, food-based, supplement-based approach to mental health symptoms wasn't included in any of the curriculum I'd been exposed to. As far as I was concerned, I had been exposed to the best psychological curriculum out there. I had gone to an excellent school in New York. I had gone to postdoctoral training. And I had never heard any of this information. So that book was life-altering. And then I took some of that information back to the clinicians I was working with, the psychiatrists, the medical doctors, the nutritionists, the excellent therapist that I was working with at Renfrew, and no one was interested. No one was interested in amino acid therapies. No one was interested in adrenal function, thyroid function being related to mental health conditions. And I couldn't understand why that was the case. I had no way of making sense of that. And so I just got that I was, if I was going to learn this stuff, I was just going to have to figure out how to do it kind of on my own, or find out who the people were out there that were sort of doing incorporative work and doing nutritional work with psychotherapy. And so I called Julia Ross, and I spoke to her a couple of times, and she encouraged me to go and do her training. And she offered at the time, which I'm sure she still does offer, a two-day training on mental health nutrition with a specific focus on the use of amino acid supplements. And then she sent me a few other, or I bought a few other lectures she had given, one on marijuana abuse, one on addictions, and I can't remember what the other one was on. And so I just started, really started to get into it. And learning as much as I, could. And the 2-day seminar that Julia Ross gives is really incredible. And one of her gifts, I think, is she's not a physician and she's not a biochemist. So she speaks in, and she's a psychotherapist who sort of found how important this work was. And so she does a really beautiful job in elucidating the power of these substances for the lay audience and for lay professionals, non-doctor types, therapists. And I think, Trudy, that you, in your work and your book, is, I sort of think of it as a an extension of what Julia did, and it's very, very accessible, and it's very, anyone can understand it. But that doesn't make it, it doesn't make it less powerful. I think it makes it more powerful. So,
yep.
So that's sort of how I, that's how I started and how I got into all this. And then, you know, then I ended up going on and trying to figure out, God, how can I do some more formal training? And so I became a holistic health counselor, and there's a really wonderful program, at, called the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York City, that has this model of, it's basically a coaching program that combines awareness of food with behavior change. And so that was kind of really up my, kind of up my alley. And then I wanted to learn more about the nuts and bolts of nutrition. So I ended up, at Julia's suggestion, I ended up getting, I couldn't, because I didn't have the energy or the time to become a registered dietitian. And I didn't really want to learn that, it didn't seem like that was going to be what was going to be best for me. So I ended up doing a 6 college class program, and became a certified, and became, got a diploma in, comprehensive nutrition. So, that's sort of how I got to this place.
Fantastic.
And then from, and so then from there, go on.
No, I was just going to say, it's really great, and it's, you know, you, that you found this, and it's very interesting that you took it back to Renfrew and that they weren't open to it, and I find that a lot. You know, there's going to be curious minds like yourself, and certainly Julia Ross, she's, for people who don't know her, I just want to repeat, you know, Julia Ross, she's the author of The Mood Cure. She's a pioneer in the use of the amino acids. I'm so glad you discovered her book and that you did her training, and she's wonderful. You know, she's a mentor of mine. I worked in her clinic for 2 years and have learned so much from her, and she also, she questioned, you know, why aren't people getting better? Why aren't people doing better just with the therapy? Let's look and see if there's this biochemical component and make these changes. And your journey is wonderful, and I just love how you keep learning and you keep asking questions and you keep getting answers, and you're helping your clients and your patients because of that. It's just, it's so, so inspiring. It really is.
Thank you.
And then I interrupted you. You were going to go on to say something else. Did I?
It's been a really interesting process because it's just been a learning process. Like, I feel like I've just followed the data in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought that back into my psychotherapy practice. I started recommending or providing education about individual amino acid supplements. based on, I used Julia Ross's symptom questionnaire, mm-hmm. which made it very simple, that looked at deficiency symptoms of the major amino acids, serotonin, the catecholamines, GABA, endorphin, and blood sugar issues. And just doing that, providing people with education around a kind of pro-mental health diet, giving them, empowering them to make choices about amino acids and trying amino acids, it really helped a lot of people. It made therapy way easier because people's moods were often really stable. And it made the work so much more fun. I would wait for people after giving them education about amino acids to come back the next time and to see, okay, so what happened with your sleeplessness? Or what happened with the panic attacks? Did they get better? And so often people came back and said, yeah, you know, my anxiety went from a number 8 on a scale of 1 to 10 to a 3 virtually overnight. Thank you so much.
Isn't it amazing?
And so it was amazing.
So wonderful.
And, yeah, it was just incredibly, just so incredibly rewarding.
Yes.
And then I had sort of this interesting thing happen. My daughter needed to have a transplant, and because she was struggling along for quite a long time, and so we moved out from New York City to Omaha, Nebraska, so that she could be evaluated for a transplant, and she ended up having an intestine transplant, which is a kind of very aggressive surgery. And she's doing great now. I mean, that was about 6 or 7 years ago. But I moved from a place where there was a fair amount of colleagues and people interested in alternative approaches to mental health to a place where there was virtually no one.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, I didn't feel like I hadn't written books. And I didn't feel like there was a place for me to come out and begin to speak about these things, to begin to have a voice. And so when I got to Omaha and looked around and realized, oh, no one has this information, and this information is so important, that I really made a point to go out and give lectures and to empower other therapists. And it's been really interesting for me in Omaha to be like the go-to person for integrative care within mental health. And for people who are looking for options, and I see my role first and foremost kind of as an educator and sort of second as a therapeutic companion kind of.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's just wonderful. Share the information, and it sounds like you've got people there who want this information. And, you know, as you say about with the amino acids, they are so powerful because people get results so quickly. And I certainly found in my practice that it just it gives them hope right away. So they feel
mm-hmm.
optimistic and they're getting results right away, because some of the other changes can take a while, certainly making dietary changes, certainly going through therapy sessions. It can take a while, but they're getting answers right away, which is so wonderful. And it's just... It's great to hear that you're getting results like that. I'd love to hear about a client of yours, and I know there's certain of the amino acids and some of the other nutrients like inositol that I'd like to talk about. And as we go through one of these case studies, maybe we can talk about the 40-year-old woman with a long history of anxiety and panic attacks going back to childhood. We can touch on some of the amino acids and other nutrients that you had to use.
So this is a really amazing case. So this is a woman who's, you know, a middle age, 40 years old. She had a long history of anxiety, panic attacks, and she'd sort of learned to cope with them. She had tried medicine. She was an avid yoga practitioner, and she was high functioning and pretty stable, but she could be thrown off quite easily. And when I came to know her, one of her best friends had died suddenly 2 months before, and she was thrown into an utter panic. You know, her baseline anxiety was, you know, at an 8. She was incapacitated. She could barely leave the house. She was having frequent, overwhelming panic attacks, couldn't eat, was really having a lot of problems sleeping. And she had a history of OCD symptoms. So some of those checking behaviors, light switches, locks were beginning to come back. And her boyfriend was someone that I knew, and he said, hey, could you help my girlfriend? And so she came to me she had a therapist. So she didn't come to me for sort of a comprehensive treatment. She came to me for just for a nutritional evaluation, specifically supplements, actually. And so I did the evaluation, and we came up with a protocol of a few things for her to take. And I always ask people, how many things can you really manage right now? How many supplements would feel comfortable? So she said she could do about four supplements. She could add four. She was on a good quality multivitamin. She was on fish oil. So we added a few things. I suggested that she try 5-HTP, which is a metabolite of tryptophan, to help with to build up her serotonin levels. I suggested a vitamin called inositol that has really good efficacy for OCD and panic disorder. I suggested chewable GABA, which can be really helpful for anxiety, and she was going to use that one as needed for breakthrough anxiety. And then I suggested a supplement called D-phenylalanine, DPA. And I like what Julia Ross typically refers to that as the breakup pill.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a woman who was brokenhearted because of the loss of her friend. So that was one of the underlying issues that was leading to this massive sense of anxiety. I suggested these supplements. I told her how she might add them one at a time over a period of a week or two. I saw her 2 weeks later, and she was really a different person. So her anxiety had come down to a much more manageable level. She wasn't crying. She was emotional, but not overwhelmed with her feelings of grief. She at the beginning was using the chewable GABA a lot, and then had pulled back, so was only using one or two of those a day. And it was amazing. I mean, it was amazing to see this progression. That's like the home run. So there are lots of cases where someone, where their symptoms are eased some, but this was a home run where her anxiety went from, she rated it as a 10 plus down to a 2. And she was able to get back to work. And then she was able to do some of the behavioral things, like beginning to hang out with friends, getting back to exercise, stress management, that we knew we were going to help her, but she couldn't engage in because she was so grief-stricken and overwhelmed and incapacitated with panic.
Fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about some of the nutrients that you've mentioned, because all of them I find very, very helpful with my clients. And as you say, people get results really quickly. Sometimes some people say, just hit me with everything. I want to take it all at once so I can feel good. Other times it's helpful to have them do one at a time so they can actually, log it and see what's making a difference. But either way, if people are getting results, that's the main thing. So
right.
5-HTP, what is your favorite time of dosing that, and what do you typically start with? Or do you remember how much she took?
Yeah, so typically I would dose it. You want to do it at least 20 minutes before food or an hour and a half after food. Typically it's dosed mid-afternoon and at bedtime. So she started with 50 milligrams, which is the typical starting dose. She started 50 milligrams twice a day, and I think eventually got up to 150. So she got a little bit of benefit from 50. I suggested that she experiment with going up to 100. She got a little bit more benefit. She went up to 150 twice a day. She got much more benefit. And then I even suggested going up to 200, which would be four, twice a day at those times. And she ended up getting more anxious when we went up to four. So she experienced what's known as the reversal effect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go too high in these supplements, sometimes the old symptoms come back. So that was how we found her dose to be 3 and 3.
Yeah.
150 twice a day.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that going too high. Some people think more is better, and it's not necessarily. You've got to find the right amount for you, and that's why slowly but surely going up, starting at the starting dose, which is usually 50 milligrams, and then going up until you get no more benefits or until you get an adverse and you want to back down. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, have you – I know we talked a little bit about tryptophan versus 5-HTP, and my concern with 5-HTP always is that it can raise cortisol levels. So if someone does take it at night and it makes them feel more wired, then obviously it's not going to work, and then you might want to switch to something else. Is that your thinking as well?
That's my thinking as well, yes.
Okay.
For sure.
Great.
Yeah. And I've certainly seen with the overly, so I was somewhat concerned, but with this person, but she ended up tolerating 5-HTP just fine at night.
Yeah, and the great thing is with the amino acids is you get results right away. If you're not going to get the results, it means you don't need it or it's the wrong thing. So you don't have to be on it for a month before you figure out it's the wrong thing. And that's what I think is just so wonderful about them.
That is such a good point, I think, because I think with medications, when people think, God, 6 weeks, this could take 6 weeks just to see if this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think with amino acids, you could know in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll never forget my partner, my girlfriend, her brother has chronic depression, and he called me sort of like off the cuff, and he said, is there anything I can take? I need to take something. I'm feeling so oppressed. I'm under a black cloud. And sort of, I don't usually do this. But I knew him quite well. I usually want to do a consultation to get the full story. I said, why don't you just try to take one 50 milligram 5-HTP and call me and let me know, like, what you experienced. The next day, we get a call from him, and he is both elated and very scared. and he said, you know, my black cloud just evaporated 2 minutes after I took 5-HTP. Is that okay?
Oh.
So he had this huge physiological response to taking 5-HTP, huge. And I had never seen that before, or that rapid a response. So that was just really amazing.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Yeah,
some
really.
People, it's very profound. Others, it's a little bit more subtle. And then sometimes you have to dig a little bit deeper. But as you said, with him, it was very profound. And with this woman that you've just shared, she had a lot of good results. And it's good that we say this because not everyone responds to all of these. You know, they may score high in the questionnaire, but they may not respond well. And then you've got to dig a little bit deeper. But that his story is wonderful, and that's so funny that he was afraid. He didn't know what
afraid.
It was like to feel good.
Because I think actually people are, you know, I think rapid shifts, especially when you're used to a particular state, it would be like all of a sudden being blind and getting your sight back.
Yes.
And how overstimulating and disturbing that might be at the beginning, at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so can I say one thing about that? In the last 5 years, so I think focus on amino acid therapies and dietary change really was the first endeavor I took into nutrition. And the last 5 years has been more focused on learning about underlying physiological metabolic pathways that functional medicine looks at that can be related to mental health symptoms. So amino acids and neurotransmitter levels would be like kind of one piece of that puzzle.
Yes.
But there's, you know, I have a page on my website that says, you know, there's 20 different things that could commonly cause depression. And conventional approaches are really looking at one of those or two of those. You know, we're looking at adjusting neurotransmitter levels through medicine and conventional medicine. And some kind of free-thinking psychiatrist might look at thyroid function or maybe vitamin D or maybe B12. But that's pretty out of the box for someone to go that far. But in functional medicine, they're looking at all sorts of things, like things like food sensitivities, IgG food sensitivities, causing depression or anxiety. We're talking about anxiety, causing anxiety. They're looking at things like you just mentioned, cortisol levels, hormone imbalances. And so it's quite fascinating. So I now have learned to interpret some of the functional medicine tests, but mostly specifically tests related to mental health symptoms. So tests that, you know, another common cause would be candida, a yeast infection, or clostridia, a bacterial infection. And what clostridia can do is it can inhibit the conversion of dopamine to norepinephrine. And one of the things we know is very, very high dopamine can lead to very disabling mental health symptoms like autism or schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. And no medicine is going to actually fix that if the problem is that the enzyme is being blocked by clostridia. So the functional medicine people have really expanded my thinking around the biomedical causes of mental health symptoms. And
right.
So I'm relatively novice about this, but again, I feel like I have enough information now, especially where I live, where very, very few other people have this kind of information. So it's been a really interesting learning process. And IMMH, what's it called? The Integrated Medicine for Mental Health Conference is put on by the Great Plains Lab, one of these functional medicine labs that really specializes in mental health symptoms, severe and persistent mental health symptoms, and they give a lot of Dr. Shaw, who's the biochemist at the lab. And his team really support clinicians in learning to kind of understand and use this new information.
You're right.
I just wanted to make sure about to say something about that.
No, I'm glad you did, because it's not certainly not one size fits all, and some people benefit from the aminos. But as you say, there's all of these other components that can go into it. And the thing, going back to what I said earlier, is that the amino acids give people hope and they give them results, while we're often digging through all these other things. That's what I find so amazing about them, because people will get results right away when you're figuring out, have they got a gluten issue, have they got, you know, high cortisol, have they got candida, have they got clostridia, and all these other factors, looking at vitamin B12, looking at vitamin D. Some of those take a little bit longer to figure out and to deal with. But the amino acids, you know, give people results right away. And then just also, I'd like to comment on the Integrative Medicine for Mental Health Conference in Great Plains, because it truly is an amazing conference for anyone who's wanting to learn more about integrative mental health, the resources, the presentations, the other practitioners there. It's so inspiring to go there and see all of these people like us who want to learn about this and want to help their patients and their clients, you know, on so many different levels. It really is fantastic.
I would really agree with that. And to be in the room with 200 clinicians that are like-minded, mm-hmm. It's so easy when you're doing this work and you're kind of on the forward edge of a field. And I'm not saying the forward edge of psychotherapy for me, nutrition for you. It's easy to feel really isolated.
Yeah.
One of the things they have, which I think is great, they have a really nice listserv for anyone that's attended any of their conferences, where physicians and other integrative practitioners present cases and ask for advice. And it's a very supportive, helpful community, I think. I
mean, it is.
I'm very touched by that. And
yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
It feels very non-competitive to me.
It does. And when you go to the conference, it feels like you're home. When I was there last
year,
I thought, oh, this is so great. And I'm so thrilled that I'll be speaking there this year. So I had a really great reception last year as an exhibitor, and I've been invited to speak this year. And it's just wonderful that I'll be able to give back, because I've learned so much from them, you know, in the last few conferences that I've attended.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you're going to be speaking there. I think it's great.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't want to lose track of our little case study here, because we stopped at 5-HTP, and I want to just ask you a little bit more about inositol and then the GABA, because I know anyone who was listening and they we didn't finish that story, but I'm glad we diverted, because it's important to cover those things. But can we go back to inositol?
Of course. So inositol is... So the dosing on inositol is 18 grams a day, and that's the researched amount that really in the research looks at its efficacy for panic disorder and OCD. And she took it 3 times a day. She took it with meals. She started off slowly, a quarter teaspoon 3 times a day in, you know, the powder, in some water with meals. And every 2 days she would work up to, another quarter teaspoon. So the third day it was a half a teaspoon 3 times a day. And she worked her way up to a teaspoon and a half 3 times a day. Inositol is helpful for the secondary messenger system of serotonin. So it helps with some of the same issues that 5-HTP, they work kind of tag team.
Yep.
So 5-HTP is indicated for the same things. It would be indicated for panic disorder and OCD. And it's sort of like, it would help augment. In the same way, some of the methylation, she wasn't on them, but the methylation vitamins and minerals, B12, B6, zinc, would help with the pathways of making neurotransmitters, specifically serotonin. So I sort of think of it as a supporting agent of serotonin building.
Right. Yeah, I like it too. And it's pleasant tasting, and it's easy to take. And I usually start with either tryptophan or 5-HTP and then add inositol if we need to, because as you say, it's an add-on. And I find a lot of people who have ruminating thoughts, so they can't switch off their mind. They don't have full-blown anxiety and OCD, but they've got the sort of obsessive thoughts. It's very helpful for that as well. Have you found that?
Yeah, I would say that rumination is like a subclinical OCD.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that kind of getting hooked and kind of looping, would be in my mind. I don't really think about diagnoses, but I think about more kind of how the system and how the brain is imbalanced. So I would think of rumination being akin to subclinical OCD. So yeah, I would agree with you.
Okay, great. Now, let's talk about GABA, because GABA is a little bit controversial. A lot of people say oral GABA does not work and it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier, and it, you know, don't even bother to take it, and it's a waste of your time. And I disagree, and obviously you do too. I'd just love to hear your perspectives on it, and if it's something that you use with a lot of your clients.
Yeah, it is definitely something I use. I am not a biochemist, so I actually don't really know whether it crosses the blood-brain barrier, nor do I care, actually.
Good answer.
Because
it works.
You know, because all we're really interested the first question should be, is it harmful? Are any of these things going to cause harm? And the answer with all the amino acids is no, they're not going to cause harm, especially when compared to psychiatric medicines. The second question is, does it work? You know, is it helpful for our patients that we see in our practice? I found it most helpful in a chewable form. and I often use it sort of PRN or as needed for anxiety. And sometimes might start people off who are highly anxious, one or two chewable 200 milligrams every 2 or 3 hours, and then back off to as needed. But I've definitely found it helpful. So the more, you know, and that's really one of the things I really, really appreciate about reading Julia Ross and meeting her and seeing how she works is, in some ways, I think she's not bothered about why it works. She's a practically oriented clinician and keeps the tools that work and is looking for, and if it doesn't work, okay, let's go on to something else that works.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think algorithmically, you know, I have lists in my head of the things that I think, quote unquote, should work. But since everyone is biochemically individual, you never know if it's going to work unless it works.
Until you try it, yeah.
And so I'm willing to try and encourage people to be curious with me and that we're on a team to try to help them figure out. And often the people that come to us, or come to me at least, especially here in this community, are people that either are very opposed to doing medications and are really clear that they don't want to go that route, or have been on medications for years and, you know, haven't really got where they want to get to. So many of those people have really low expectations, and they're very, very pleased with the amino acids typically.
Right.
But I do think chewable GABA is an important agent. I have a long-term therapy patient where the only supplement that she's ever really done is chewable GABA. And she over, you know, we did a lot of therapy, and she's now in her first room at third, her first romantic relationship ever. She'd been very self-hating, chronic panic attacks. And the relationship with me and helping process and work through some of her trauma, plus chewable GABA, I think she would say, I'm not sure what she would say, her relationship to me is more important or her relationship to chewable GABA is more important. But I think it was great for her to have both. And so she carries it with her and uses it as needed and needs it less now, and has really clear anti-anxiety effect when she takes it. And it doesn't make her foggy, and there's no propensity for addiction. So that truly saved her life, I would say.
That's good story to hear. And certainly with my anxiety when I was having my panic attacks in my late 30s, GABA was my lifesaver. I used GABA Calm, the sublingual GABA, and it really saved my life. It stopped the panic attacks. I took extra GABA at night, and it saved me while I was looking for everything else that was the issue. So, I can attest to it firsthand. Now, the GABA, you mentioned the chewable GABA. Is this the GABA Calm or Pharma GABA?
This is the Now brand. It's Now. Okay. I really like that company.
Yep.
Small company. Their stuff is really clean. They make great products. It's very no frills. I'm always concerned with price because I live in the Midwest and people are very kind of concerned. And so I want to use the cheapest, cleanest, best thing. And my office is in a yoga center right next to a health food store. And that
Wonderful.
Sounds exotic. So I'm upstairs. We have a mind-body clinic, and we're connected to a health food store too. You know, one of the few independently owned health food stores in Omaha, Nebraska. And they know me really well, and they give my patients a discount, and it's a very nice, collaborative, working relationship.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
I love it. So I just want to clarify, though. Well, firstly, I wanted to say I love that you've got a yoga studio and a health store out there. What a wonderful combination. But going back to the GABA, I'm not familiar with the Now GABA. Is that regular GABA or is it Pharma GABA?
I think it's regular GABA,
okay.
And it's 200 milligram orange flavored chewables.
Oh, okay. I'm familiar with that. I thought that was Source Naturals. They have an orange flavored chewable. Maybe they've copied Source
Naturals.
No,
Source Naturals, I think, does as well. But now Foods has.
Okay, good.
They're just really well-priced, I think.
I'll have to check it out. Thank you. It's always good to learn something new. And then just going back to the whole GABA discussion, your two comments about, you know, does it work and is it harmful, those are great. Interestingly enough, you know, because I do a lot of presenting myself, a lot of people ask me the GABA question, and I actually have been digging and made contact with Dr. Eugene Roberts, who discovered GABA in the brain in the 1950s. And he shared some research with me and said that there's GABA receptors in many other places in the body, one of them being the blood vessels, and that may be part of the mechanism of why it relaxes you. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that is interesting. I mean, I think we're going to learn, you know, the work of Dr. Pert, Candace Pert, who wrote Molecules of Emotion, for her discovery of the endorphin, of the opiate receptors outside the brain. I think we're intelligent beings, and our bodies are way more intelligent, and information goes top down from the brain to the body, but maybe you don't need to get into the brain to get into the nervous system.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what you're saying in a way. There are receptors for all of these neurotransmitters all throughout the body. So what if getting into the nervous system doesn't require getting into the brain directly? Like if you can access it indirectly. I just want to share something about that, a little bit about that, because I think it's really interesting. It's a new little trick that I learned within the last year or so. You know those presentation pen lights? You know the lights that cats love to chase?
Yes, yes, yes.
So if you take one of those lights and you turn it on and you shine it on like the tip of your finger for 5 seconds, and then on the pad of the same finger for 5 seconds, and you do that, for all your fingers, for all 10 fingers, so a minute and a half. Many people experience a big reduction in anxiety, and the reason that is because the light in those two places dilates the capillaries in your fingers, and triggers the relaxation response. It tells your parasympathetic nervous system to activate to allow you to relax. So that's a little trick I use. I use a device in my office called, which is more powerful than that. It's called a photonic stimulator, which is an infrared laser that is really good for things like wound healing. And on the fingertips can be very relaxing for people. But so I send people home often with a pen light, with a $1.99 pen light from Walgreens, from the pharmacy, and tell them to do it a couple times a day. And I find, like, especially with anxiety, giving people things to do that they can use when they feel anxious, when they're in panic, is very, very helpful. And so that's one little trick that I'm passing on because it was passed on to me.
Fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
Never heard of it, and I just love it.
Yeah.
I would love to just know if there's anything special that we need to look for in buying this pointer.
You do not. I would just go into any store, and they have those. It doesn't matter. You could have a green light or a red light. And just any of those little lights that put the mark on the screen, any of those are good enough. And it penetrates into the level of the capillaries in the fingers. And so we're very reactive to these sorts of things. So that's a controlled use of light.
Very, very interesting. Fantastic. And I know you've got something else that you wanted to share with us in terms of what you use. We had a bunch of other success stories we wanted to talk about, but we're running out of time, and I really wanted to hear about your neurofeedback, because that's something that's pretty new to me, and I've had a number of clients who have done it elsewhere and had results in terms of easing anxiety. And I know you've used LENS, low-energy neurofeedback system, and then other forms of neurofeedback. So can we talk about that before we
end? So there's all different kinds of neurofeedback. So neurofeedback is basically comes out of biofeedback. Biofeedback's been used since the 50s to increase, you know, to do all sorts of things like decrease blood pressure. You can teach someone to decrease blood pressure. You can help with migraine headaches and anxiety by helping people change the temperature at their fingertips, by warming up their fingers. So neurofeedback is basically putting a sensor or more sensors on the brain and feeding it through a computer and seeing, you know, the practitioner gets to see the EEG. And so with LENS, what LENS does is it reads what the brain is doing. So it reads the faint electrical signals that the brain is making, and then for a brief second feeds back the same electrical signal. So it mirrors the electrical signal. And what that seems to do, or what that does, is that allows the brain to sort of release its dysfunctional patterns and find a new resting point. So when people are in a highly anxious state, the brain dumps activating chemicals. You know, so there's too much, let's say, too much glutamate causing this profound anxiety, or too much cortisol. And what this technique does is it uses electricity, because the brain is both chemical, and when we're using amino acids and other supplements, we're working on a chemical level. But the brain is also an electrical apparatus. The body's electrical. So we can interface with the chemistry of the brain, how the brain works, by affecting small changes in the electricity of the brain that affects the chemistry of the brain. So that's one. So it's not uncommon, sort of like with amino acids, to have rapid reduction in anxiety or depression by providing the brain with a little bit of information about what it's doing. It's sort of like a good example is when you're in the snow and your tire gets caught in a rut and just spins and spins and spins. And then with a push, it's able to get out of that rut and function more optimally. And so that's what this little bit of information, this little bit of electrical impulse does for the brain. So it can find a new resting place. So I found it really fascinating and really interesting and LENS is a very easy system to work. It only takes 5 minutes or less of treatment, including hookup time. And it can be something that's done at the end of a session that's focused on nutrition or a session that's focused on psychotherapy. And we, like with other symptoms, we track to see, okay, what was that experience like? How did that go? And it's a little bit less predictable because it's kind of a tonic treatment. It's not geared, the LENS isn't geared to a particular part of the brain. It just helps the brain free itself from old patterns. So that's one kind of neurofeedback I use. Another one that I've literally just learned.
Can I just ask a question before we go further? And then have you say 5 minutes of treatment, how many sessions do you typically do, or is that really dependent on each person and how they respond?
It's very dependent on the person. Some people can have dramatic responses in 5-6 sessions.
Okay.
So, and other people with let's say PTSD or entrenched OCD or really entrenched developmental problems, it could be upwards of 20, 30, 40 sessions. So someone with autism, like a child with autism, the parents will often be trained to do the treatments themselves, and that child could go on with treatments for hundreds of treatments.
Okay.
But when I think about psychotherapy, I mean, I'm often seeing people for months or years at a time. So to have someone only need to reestablish functioning after a month or two is quite remarkable. So
right.
I think it's amazing. I think all these new technologies. I was thinking, God, I wonder what Freud would be doing if he was alive now. Like if Freud was working now, like which of these cool, amazing technologies would he be involved in? And I kept on thinking, God, I would bet, and maybe this is my ego and my interest, but I was like, God, I think you'd be involved in functional medicine or neurofeedback, because those seem like so cutting edge. Like he wouldn't be doing 5-day-a-week psychoanalysis. That's so he would be doing something that was way more effective than that.
Well, that's very encouraging to think that he might be. I would hope that he would.
I don't know. It's all hypothesis. And so there are other kinds of neurofeedback. The other system I'm using is called InfraLow, and that's a longer process where 2 times a week over a period of, you know, months, like 2 months or 3 months, the brain is allowed to watch its own functioning, and the interface is a video game. So someone's watching a video game or a movie, and information is provided to the brain about whether it's constricted or overfiring or whether it's overactivated. So in the video game, the screen will become, when the brain overfires, when there's too much activation, the screen, there's white mist that comes over the screen. And so the machine, the game, is talking directly to the brain. And in that communication, it's saying you don't need to overfire. And the brain is a self-regulating organism. So it wants to come into balance. So overactivation would be something like a migraine headache, or a seizure would be the most complicated form of overactivation. A panic attack would be a hot flash. These would be signs of instability of the brain. So one of the ways the brain can be out of balance is that it could be unstable. So the interface, the biofeedback, becomes the brain learning about itself and coming more into a self-regulated state. And it's amazing to see a brain or a person who, through this very passive process, all the person has to do is just watch the screen, how we're able to talk directly to the brain, and the brain is learning about itself so it can function better, more efficiently, more in a more balanced way. So I'm blown away by these tools.
Now tell me this last one that you've just described. What is that one called?
This is called InfraLow, and the creators of this are Sue and Siegfried Othmer. And so these two systems, the lens and InfraLow, are created by two different pioneers that have taken two slightly different approaches in the development of neurofeedback. And both of those systems and both of these practitioners and inventors have been around for the last 40 years perfecting their perspective interfaces. And it is quite remarkable. And the founders are still alive and well. I just had the training. You have to go to them, the Othmers. They're based in the Valley in Los Angeles, and they do week-long trainings in these interfaces that are open. It's a perfect complement to the nutritional work that we're doing, because they're both trying to help the brain function better and come into balance, have the raw materials, and have a way of functioning in a more balanced way. I actually spoke to Len Oakes, who's the director of who created the lens, and he said that if he was young enough at this point, that he would be interested in nutritional therapies for mental health. And I thought, this is one of the most creative minds that I've met. And it was so cool to hear him say, yeah, these two pieces really fit well together.
Very, very cool. Thank you so much for sharing this. This is really great. And You certainly have a very curious mind. You're looking for everything that can help, and it's really great. And bringing everything together, as you say, the nutrition and then the neurofeedback, it's really wonderful. So we, unfortunately, are out of time, and it's been so wonderful chatting to you and getting all this great information. I'd like to just recap a few things, and then if you've got anything that you want to add at the end or comment on something that I've said. So from what I got out of it, for everyone who's listening, ask questions, be curious, read, learn. If you are going to use nutrients, like some of the ones that we mentioned, keeping in mind that, you know, we just mentioned GABA, 5-HTP, inositol, and D-phenylalanine. There's a lot of other ones. Everyone has their own unique biochemistry. You need to find the dose that you need. It's part of the whole functional medicine approach. Love the tip for the pointer on the finger and then the neurofeedback. And this is, you know, we've just touched on a few things here, obviously, together with therapy and eating a real whole foods diet and all the other great things that you're going to hear about in this series all definitely play a role. Is there anything else that you feel like you need to add or any last words of wisdom for us? Josh?
I think that anyone, I mean, I want to encourage more therapists to be providing people with education about these things, because I think it's so fundamental to our work. As we are primary care mental health practitioners, and I mean one of my goals is to empower people to feel like they can talk to people about effectively about what to eat to feel better, and that it is clearly within the scope of our practice to provide people with education so that they can make informed medical decisions. I do not tell people what to do. I empower them to make choices about their own health care. I think the two of the best books, in addition to Trudy's book on anxiety, for beginners that are interested in this field, I think The Mood Cure, it holds up and is an amazing book by Julia Ross. And I think it's a great starting off point to be thinking about the impact of nutrition and supplements on mental health. And I think Mark Hyman's book, The Ultra Mind Solution, is a beautiful introduction to a functional medicine perspective. He's a physician who's very interested in nutrition, the focus of his practice is using specific laboratory functional medicine tests to identify the underlying imbalances in mental health conditions. So I would just encourage people to learn more so we can help more people, because the world is really suffering.
Yeah.
And Trudy, thank you so much for including me in this. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, I love that you're out there sharing in Omaha, and I just love this whole journey from psychoanalysis to whole person mental health, and we could probably do, you know, 5 hours of talking about this. And you've just touched on so many important things today. It's been really wonderful, and I just want to encourage anyone who's listening to please check out Josh's wonderful Facebook page, really great posts on integrative psychotherapy and nutrition and functional medicine. It's called Integrative Psychotherapy of Omaha. That's how we met. And then his website is integrativepsychotherapyomaha.com. And thank you so much for being here. And I just want to say something else about what you were saying, that some of the good books. And you'd mentioned Julia Ross earlier in the presentation. She is one of the speakers in the series. So if you want to learn more about and hear from someone who's, you know, a pioneer in the use of the amino acids, make sure to listen to her call and listen to all the others, because I'm sharing great information from amazing people who are doing all this amazing work to help people and help you feel better if you have anxiety. And if you're a practitioner and you are intrigued by Josh's journey, then I, you know, say be inspired and get out there and learn this, because it's so wonderful. All these conferences that we go to, like the Integrative Medicine for Mental Health, IFM, Institute of Functional Medicine. I know Dr. Harmon's very involved with that. And there's wonderful support groups and just wonderful opportunities to learn, so we can make people feel absolutely amazing. So this is Trudy Scott. This the interview with Dr. Josh Friedman on the Anxiety Summit, and this is Trudy signing off.